I don't know about you, but I came tonight, I was tired and needy. And during the worship time, I told the Father, I need to come into your presence. I need you. I need your presence. I need to see you. And I was immediately in his throne room. His throne room was cavernous. Cavernous. I couldn't see the edges. I didn't know where the edges were. And it was filled with his glory. It was stuffed with his glory. And there was lightning all around, everywhere. And the Father was right in the middle of an approachable light. Light like we've never seen before. Unapproachable light. And there I was in his presence, and I felt his power. It was tangible, a power that surrounded me, that it encompassed me round about. It was a power that excluded all fear because I knew I was safe. It was a power that I couldn't describe. There are not words for that power. It was a power that transcends anything that we know about power. And behind that was his love. His love coming toward me, and it was incomprehensible. But I knew it was a love that canceled all of my debt. I needed to know that. I needed that reconfirmation of his love that came through his Son, Jesus Christ, and the blood of Jesus washed us as white as snow. And then, to cap it all off, the Father says to me, Lex, I love you into eternity. He loves us into eternity. That love that cannot be measured, it can't even be defined other than that God is love. That love has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of that kind of light. That's what he's done for us. And I needed to know that. I needed that being in his presence. Is my face shining? I love the Lord. And he reminded me this morning, I was communing with him. It just him and me. And I was in Zechariah 12, and verse 1 says, this message concerning the fate of Israel came from the Lord, quote, this message is from the Lord who stretched out the heavens, laid the foundations of the earth, and formed the human spirit. That's our God. And when I read that, I was overwhelmed with the sense that our God is the Creator. He created everything. He spread out the heavens. He laid the foundations of the earth, and he made us. That's who he is. So, let's see what message the Creator has for us tonight. So get your Bibles out and go to Matthew 28. So this is the resurrection morning, chapter 28. And verse 5 This is the New Living Translation. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." Verse 16, then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So, I just praise the Lord that Jesus didn't say this. "Listen, you guys, I've discipled you, and I've risen from the dead, and now I'm going back to heaven where I came from. I'm going back to glory, and you guys are on your own. I'll be back in a couple thousand years, but you're on your own, so go make disciples, teach them what I've taught you. See you later." He didn't say that. He said, "All power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age." However, there have been years and years in my own Christian life when I acted on this as if he wasn't with me. I tried to do this on my own power, under my own steam, in my own wisdom. I wasn't hearing from the Holy Spirit and having the Holy Spirit tell me to go here, to go there, to speak here, to model my life everywhere you go. Jesus did this. He made disciples. Turn over to John 5, verse 30. What I want you to understand, what I had to come to understand, is this. John 5:30, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "I can do nothing on my own. I judge as God tells me. Therefore, my judgment is just, because I carry out the will of the one who sent me, not my own will." That was the life that Jesus led on earth. He led a life subject to the Father. Everything he did because the Father told him what to do. He told him what to say and how to say it. That's what it says in the New Living Translation. I love that. And we walk the same way. Jesus found some fishermen, and he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." He spent all night in prayer, and the next morning he comes down and he chooses 12 men to be with him. We need to do the same thing. John 15:5 says, Jesus is speaking, you know the passage, "I'm the vine, you're the branches," and he says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." He said that I can do nothing on my own. He was subject to the Father. We are subject to Christ. So we have the Great Commission, but we need to carry out the Great Commission under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is resurrected. He's going to go back into heaven, and he gives a charge to his disciples to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And then he also said in Acts chapter 1, he says, "Remain in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high, because the Holy Spirit is going to come to give you power." So those are the two things. We are to go, but he's with us, and we shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon us. We have the Holy Spirit living in us, and he empowers us. And in demonstration of that, on the day of Pentecost, all the disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit. They're speaking in other tongues. And Peter is filled with the Holy Ghost. And I can just imagine the Holy Spirit saying to Peter, "Hey, Peter, it's showtime." And Peter preached on that day. And 3,000 people come to Christ. And it says, flip over to Acts chapter 2, verse 41, "Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all." What did Jesus say to the disciples? "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." That day, 3,000 people were added to the church. They were baptized. And in verse 42, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So they did the second part and said, "Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you." We're no different. That's how we live our lives in Christ. Flip over to chapter 16 of Acts. Paul and Silas, verse 6, traveling through the area of Phrygia and Galatia, because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia, but again the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas, and there Paul has a vision of the man in Macedonia saying, "Come in over here." And so they go over to Macedonia. They go to Philippi, and they meet a lady named Lydia, and Lydia comes to know the Lord. Chapter 18, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth, and there he became acquainted with a Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently arrived from Italy with his wife Priscilla. They had left Italy when Claudius Caesar deported all Jews from Rome, and Paul lived and worked with them, for they were tent makers, just as he was. Verse 9, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision and told him, "Don't be afraid, speak out, don't be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack and harm you, for many people in this city belong to me." So Paul stayed there for the next year and a half teaching the word of God. Paul listened to the Holy Spirit. He listened to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit guided him and sent him here, and he sent him there and told him to stay here and don't be afraid and teach my word. We need to have our ears open to the voice of the Holy Spirit. If we try to work out of our own wisdom, out of our own flesh, then we'll accomplish nothing. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Paul's writing the Corinthian church. And he says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it." So Matthew 18, 19, and 20, we should run in such a way that we will obtain it. Paul talks about it in Philippians chapter 3. He says, "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And he has that attitude later on. So that was verse 24 in chapter 9. But in verse 26, he says, "Well, I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air." And I have to confess, there are years in my Christian life when I was running aimlessly. I was running according to Lex. And as I was meditating on these verses, and I was imagining, you know, a boxer just up here and beating the air, flailing, thrashing, and beating nothing but the air, that is such a picture of what we do apart from the leading of the Holy Spirit. We are thrashing, we are beating the air, and we are accomplishing nothing other than fatiguing ourselves out, working up a sweat, but accomplishing nothing. There's no opponent there. We're not achieving any prize. We're just thrashing the air. And he goes on to say in verse 27, "But I pommel my body and I subdue it, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Now, I hate to tell you this, but the flesh cannot control the flesh. Many, many, many people have tried that. By locking themselves off in a monastery room or being an ascetic or whatever, but the flesh is trying to control the flesh. It doesn't work. It will never work because the flesh is sinful. The only way that Paul could pommel his body and subdue it is through the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit lives in our spirit, and our spirit, in union with the Holy Spirit, controls the body and the soul. The soul, mind, will, and emotions. Have you ever let your mind, will, and emotions get away with you? I have. Just tonight, starting to worship, and, you know, these thoughts go, whoosh, whoosh, where'd that come from? And that's why I said, Father God, I don't want that. I want to come into your presence. And he said, okay, come into my presence. And I went into his presence. That's where we need to live. That's where we need to abide. Paul wrote again in Galatians 5:16, but I say, walk by the Spirit and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. The only way that we can walk and not gratify the sinful desires of the flesh is to walk by the Spirit. The only way that we are going to fulfill the Great Commission is by the Spirit. We had a we have a life group that meets on Sunday nights, and we have 10 to 12 people that come over, and we fellowship, we have something to eat, and then we get together and we consider the message that Robert preached that morning. And you know, this last Sunday, if you were here, he preached on the power of the blood. And so we talked about that. What does that mean? How do we respond to that? How do we act? How do we walk under the power of the blood of Jesus? What does that look like? What does that look like in our individual lives? What does it look like corporately? What does it look like in our little group meeting right here in this room? What does it look like in the church? And then we pray. And Sunday night was amazing, because there was this hunger, this desire to see this whole canyon, these three river systems around here, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the living water, filled so that people come to know the living God, the creator of everything. And then there was this prayer for Sabinal and for the people in Sabinal, and how the Holy Spirit is going to reach the people in Sabinal. And we listen to the Holy Spirit, because he'll tell you. The other day I went to get the mail at the post office, and the train comes, and I saw there's no way I could get across the railroad track right then and there and go back to the house. And so I said, well, I think I'll just drive through town. So I drove over on the east side of town, and I'm just going down the streets and looking at all these houses, the Holy Spirit just started downloading into me and weeping over all the people in those houses. And I know when I go to Central Christian Church and there's 28 people in the service, that the people in Sabinal are not hearing about life. They're not hearing about Zoe, eternal life, abundant life that we can live in the here and now as we wait for our redemption. And so it just gripped me. It gripped Tim Absher. And so I know that we're being poised. We're being set out in battle array, so that every morning when we get up, we should go to the commander in chief and say, Father God, what are your orders for today? What am I supposed to do as I go? Matthew 28:19, go therefore means as you are going. So as I go, Father God, by your Spirit, lead me, guide me, show me, speak to me. Let me know when I'm supposed to say a word in season. That is seasoned just right for the hearer. Let me know whether I should go here or go there. He's interested in every detail of our lives. And we cannot walk apart from the commander's direction. As we go through the day, we better go back to the commander and say, do you have any more new orders for me? Because the battle lines might have shifted during the day. And he says, I don't need you here anymore. I need for you to go over here. You need to stand in the gap over here. The walls are tumbling down. I need you to fill the hole. And so we go there. And here's my dream, church, as I dream in the Lord, is that that little life group that we have on Sunday, that there will be more and more and more people coming. And Bruce and Sharon come. Someday, Bruce and Sharon are going to have a group of 10 or 12 or 14 in Concan. And they're going to be coming from everywhere. Like Robert had the vision of people pouring into this canyon. We have to be ready. We have to be prepared because it's going to happen. 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready to give an account for the hope that is within you. We have to be ready. We have to be so full of the word so that when the commander speaks and he says, go here and do this, just like the Father spoke to the Son when he was here on earth, and then we're ready. We're prepared. We have the word that's been sown into our lives. We have the word for that moment. So what the Lord showed me this morning about this message, I'm the one who stretched out the heavens, I laid the foundations of the earth, and I formed the human spirit. That might be just the word that someone needs to hear. Well, you know what? You have a Father who loves you with an everlasting love. He made everything. He made you. He formed you in your mother's womb. He knew all of your days before you were even born. You are his workmanship. He has a plan for your life and a destiny for you to walk in. That's the word. That word is life. It is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And that word that you sow will pierce to the division of soul and spirit. In your life, in the life of that person you're talking to. So as a result of that life group on Sunday, and then Robert, I don't remember whether it was Sunday night or Monday night, but he texted me and said, can you do the Wednesday service? And then the Lord just, you know, I'd already gone to Matthew 28. Jeannie and I talked about it. And I thought, oh, Father, what are you doing? What is your plan for the church? What is your plan for Living Waters? And he says, oh, my plan is what it's always been. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And oh, by the way, I am with you always to the close of the age. So, I have some go-dos for you. We're in this together. We are the body of Christ. He has put every one of us in his body exactly where he wants you. He has given you gifts to use for the body. So the go-do is this. For a period of time, and I'll let that be defined between you and the Lord, just get down on your knees and go to the Lord and say, Father, what do you want me to do? How do I fit in? Do I need to listen to the Holy Spirit closer? Do I need to be hungry for hearing your voice? Do I need to be more sensitive to what you are doing around me? You know what? When Paul, I just thought of this. When Paul and Silas were in jail, and they, I don't know, maybe they were in solitary confinement, had chains on them. They're singing hymns and praises to God in jail. And the other prisoners were listening, and there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations, and all the doors immediately flew open. The chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself, and Paul shouted to him, "Stop! Don't kill yourself! We're all here!" And the jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved along with everyone in your household." The Greek word for household is oikos. You have a household. It is your sphere of influence. So, get on your knees before the Lord and say, "Father, show me how you want me to move and operate in my oikos. Right where you live. Right where you work. Right where you live and move and have your being." Because I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit, who convicts of sin and righteousness and judgment, is on the move. And he is going to do great and mighty things. Why? Because he has a people who will obey. So as you do that, then come together with others in your oikos and share what the Lord shows you. So when we have our life group on Sunday, we'll share, "This is what the Lord showed me. This is what we can do. This is how we can pray. This is how we can go forth, because he is with us." And then the Lord shall return. I look forward to that day, to see him face to face in his power and his glory. And oh, by the way, we're going to share in all that glory. Amen. Father, I thank you for the time together tonight. I thank you for your word, that it is living, and you live in us. And we can say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou didst create all things, and by thy will they existed and were created. That's who you are. We give glory to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord.